real questions, Chair. In answering some of your earlier questions, we could see there's a bit of a mismatch going on because the maps that the Kaumatua were referring to are not the same as the ones on the screen. Of course, ultimately, that will be the one that's approved, but we're working off topo maps, which I see now seem to have come up. So we've got a couple of spares available, hard copies of the maps that the Kaumatua are working off that we thought we might hand up. There's only three, but as far as I'm aware, there's no untoward handwritten notes on that, so well, I have not had the chance to check that.
You can be sure there are untoward handwritten notes with a proverbial eye patch.
Thank you.
But do they generally refer to the
Yes. Yes. And the second. You can keep them. Yeah, that was the intent, I think. You keep them, please. And then the second point was, and I've just been alerted to this point. In answering some of the earlier questions, I think around Lake Hawea, there is actually, as you'd expect, a closed file with confidential information not available to the public. And that, I understand, is part of the database called Kahuru Manu. And so we would like permission to have Casino Doyle, who's just going to stand up so you can see him, who's an employee of Pokaha, and all his role would be is to bring up on screen the closed file so that the Kaumatua can cross-reference that when they're answering your questions. So he won't be saying anything, he's simply going to bring it up. Run the IT side of it, if you like.
Is
there
some weakness in your
armour? Well, there are many weaknesses in mine, I think.
Thank you.
As required. Thank you. So on that, there may be a fuller answer that could be provided to you in relation to how we are in light of if the Kaumatua can use it as an aid memoir to assist in answering, because we felt that the answers were given were not as helpful as they might have been.
Well, I wonder if there's a way to go forward is we'll take what's in the bank as is.
Sure.
But if when we break, as I say, I'd like to spend half an hour talking to my team,
so we'll just box on then.
Area 6.
So you want...
Kia ora, so on Area 6, Map 6, on the one that's been handed up, we're looking at Makarore and coming down on the western side of Lake Wanaka, and an arm going up the Wilkin River is Wahi Tupuna, an area both at the Makarore end and along that western area of Lake Wanaka, frequented by our ancestors, Tupuna, on their activities in this part of the country. In addition, there was a part they used both the Haas Pass, Kiwiri Pate, and the Okuru, two passes back and forth into the west coast, to and from. Painamu, of course, that's right up on the true left of the Makarore River. And settlements, of course, in that locality. Old trails, Mahikikai, and access to the lake. Well, in terms of the slopes or the faces, we went far enough to gather in the Parnamon source. There would be birding and other activity around the edges and up. So in along the western lake, just that fringe, no doubt they went beyond that, but it was to capture that sense of where the ancestors' footprints would be.
Does that represent the tree line and in some places, or similar?
Oh no, I think it's higher than the. Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry, the snow line.
Top
tree line. Oh, it may in some place. It may, in fact, along. The, it looks like it will, along the.
On the eastern side.
Yeah.
And just the only other question is this and its connection to the West Wanaka area, I suppose similar question, how do you distinguish the areas that you've mapped from the area that you haven't in between those two areas? And I suppose particularly, you know, with Calhoun's Beach and stuff in mind.
Well, I think it's a bit like our previous questions. Look, we've got 43 of these in the Queenstown Lakes District area. And so take the overall context. We are really getting a wide variety of places that we do know our ancestors did frequent. And we haven't, while it may look, in some cases we've been extensive, we could be much more extensive if we were going to follow their path.
Thank you.
Start on this theme. This is one of my favourite places in New Zealand. We used to camp at Glen Dew Bay till we got too big, noisy. But no, it was a marvellous area and a place equally attractive to our ancestors. That whole area, the ability to catch tuna, particularly in that. Bay just past, those bays just past Glen Dew Bay, very back in the 50s and early 60s, you still could get a lot of big eels. Well, some of them were becoming old eels by then, but plenty of eel, tuna there. Archaeological, some koiwi, human remains, have been recovered here. And it's a place I believe, there's a number of villages were here as well, settlements, temporary campsites, just had so many things going for it in terms of mahinga kai, and in a great place.
Then I can understand.
So those names, Koti Koti, Kahu, Takri, Puki, etc. They are
No Waka?
No? Koti Repo, did you say? Takri Puki?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That series of
Pakai Takiaho, Toko Apuka, yeah.
Are they all Nohoaka names?
Well, Te Rākau, have you got Te Rākau, Tāne U Aurua?
Yeah.
There was a number of villages there. I think Takere Poke
was a village.
Was a village.
Yep.
So, a kaiaka as opposed to a nohoaka.
Kaiaka is kainga?
Yeah.
It's a village. Kaiaka. Oh, sorry, with our K.
Yes.
And I think the difference between the two names is the kaiaka or kainga were more permanent residents or permanent settlements, whereas the nohaka were places where we tended to lay our heads, particular to mahikakai areas.
Yeah, I think that's just another example of one where that maybe that kaina could have been a value.
Yes.
Agreed.
Another line item from Mr. Enright. Any other questions below?
Well, Mo Waho is a well-known island out in the middle of the lake. A staging post, no doubt, for our people who may have been tripping up or down the lake. It has capability of being some mahikakai there to sustain a short stay. Just an important island, I think, in the middle of Lake Wanaka that would have been well known by our ancestors and probably a navigation point.
Yeah.
We probably have the benefit that
Mawai
or Matap, we were not our conservation estate, I suppose, so the threats to them are limited, but the I presume that's the reason why the threats are identified reasonably limited to those things that could appear in conservation areas as opposed to a broader
range.
Yeah.
Oh, just another dialect. Pātai, so that would be our Mōtu. What we would call a Mōtu.
Yes, it is. That's right. It's a kaitahu kupu for Mōtu. There'd be a Tauraka waka there as well on the eastern
side. Yeah.
A canoe landing site.
Any more?
Motaku speaks for itself. None of us have probably been on it.
I haven't been on Motaku.
And when you look at it, it's just got something about it. And so our people gave it a tapu status, so who are we to question them, sort of thing.
I have to admit, I pedalled past it late in the evening one time, and it has the best bird song I've heard in the entire district. But coming off that island, it was quite something.
Well vegetated? I'm asking you a question now.
Well, to expand on that, I don't think many people go on that island, and that's another feature for that island and for the bird life that they would appreciate, I think.
Oh, yeah.
All my life, for some reason, I've known that it's a taku island, and I've taught my children never to go on there, no matter what their boating skills are.
Something about it.
How many people do know that?
Yes, which is good.
Protected it.
That's right.
Mm.
Known as Stevenson's Island, in Stevenson's Arm, close proximity to Mount Bourke Station, is it?
Yep.
And it's also a place that, Tauraka Waka, but it would have been, it was utilised by the ancestors. But we've been utilising it also to release weka, to try and get a population of weka going, but it's too close to Mount Bourke, and the ferrets and the stoats swim across to it. But there you are. I think islands generally have a value to our ancestors, probably something they would have used in their trips on the lake, staging post.
In fact, the first weka generation that were born on the island, they swam ashore and ended up getting skittled on the road by traffic, so they weren't helpful to their species, were they? It was an experiment to reintroduce weka to the mainland, because a lot of our weka actually were removed from the mainland and went to the Chathams. Where over in the Chatham Islands, the weka are seen as a pest or a hell of a good feed. So we managed to secure some of the weka from the from the Chathams and bring them back to New Zealand and put them on Stevenson's Island. And it was a community project. Everyone was involved.
Was it
what they called
the buff weka?
Yeah.
The name Waiariki, which is the traditional name, Wai, of course, water, so it's always a bit of a hazard trying to work out a name, but Ariki, the word Ariki on it will give you some idea that it was given some status, has some status as an island.
Yeah.
We now have the unnumbered
If we were to map it, we'd run around probably above the road to Glentu Bay. We'd go right around to Sticky Forest if we were doing a wahi tupuna, because that was quite a focal point. And in terms of the naming of the lake and the history of the creation of the lake, it happened there. The name Wanaka comes from Rākai Hotu, who arrived at that point, and they did karakia and had wānaka to strengthen themselves for their journeys and discoveries, and they named the lake for that particular occasion. So it has significance, the name, association with the ancestors, and that whole enclave of a bay, if we were doing a wahi tupuna. We haven't got a map. Possibly, yeah. They weren't going living well off the lake. They would have been close to the lake or on the island, Ruby Island.
Yeah.
So, for instance, like the golf course would be the top of the inner ridge line.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I think so.
Yeah. And so you haven't specifically identified Mount Pine as having any value. Is there no stories or connection with Mount Pine as
well? I'm not aware of any.
Nothing substantial. There's a little bit in some of the manuscripts about the mountain in the middle of nowhere, but no, it didn't hold any significance, if you like, in terms of Wahitapu or Wahitahoka.
The outlets, personally quite important. I think we were the first family to camp there when we left Glendu Bay. No one was ever camping there, but it would have had associations as well.
Did you say that if you were mapping it, you would wrap the Wahitapu around the edges of the lake more than say where the township festival goes at the moment, maybe around towards opposite the islands and round to that outlet?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, they wouldn't be venturing way back hundreds and hundreds of metres.
Not way back down to look at the cover on.
No.
Do we want to discuss that in a while yet? At the outlet where I'm at, or do we want to cover that under the
top? But you haven't ever mapped the Wanaka?
I didn't think we had. I mean, because it's already developed, and but if we did, it's sort of.
Okay, we'll come back to that whole.
Could I, Mr. Chairman, make the point that you touched on it earlier on. One, places where there are settlements, old settlements. Invariably, you'll find there were settlements by the previous people sitting under there, i.e. Wanaka, Queenstown, and anywhere else around that country. Generally, where people like a place now, the previous people liked for the similar reasons.
Presumably, Kaitahu would choose that. Did
Kaitahu
have a settlement at Garatown?
Don't think so. I'm not aware of it.
Yes, I was going to say.
They would have ventured around there, but I'm not aware of it.
No, more of the Kamiako down there.
No,
the river beds.
Well, let's roll on to site B.
It's auto, yeah, the drainer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essentially what we've tried to do there. That's an old highway, you might say, rather. I'll just emphasise the trail thing. It was really a highway that our people would use moving north and south. Then the crossover down the Roaring Neck and across the Natural Bridge would be one diversion of that. So it's really about, we're saying that's the footsteps of our tūpuna. That's why we put that in as a way tūpuna.
A specific question that's been raised by one of the smithers is the fact that the river has shifted just the end of Soho.
Yep.
Soho Street. River shifted more on the true right bank, further right. Is the Wahitapuna, is the basis of the Wahitapuna a historic river or the current river, and does it matter given what's effectively been defined as the flora of the valley?
Probably the flora of the valley is the intent, probably. I mean, that river's altered, it's been mined significantly, dredged, I should say, with big floating dredges, significantly changed. Our footsteps are no longer there, really, but so it's a spiritual pathway. It's probably what we're saying. That's right, yes. Yes.
Any questions on site level?
So just to, one, obviously that there's an unusual hole in the zoning down near Mount Barker, or down near the Valentine Road end, which you might consider having a response to in your that there's just a little inconsistency there, and the other one is, as I raised before, what we do with the Cardrona Township and in its consistency with other urban areas. Do we remove the Waihinta Puna, as you have done, as it has been by the council, was removed over that zoning in this case, but it also runs over the paper roads and funny things within that, within the Cardrona Township. So you can see that they, there's actually paper roads there that have the Waihinta Puna hatching over the top of it, which is unusual. So yeah, just advice as to what we should do with it.
So, Commissioner, are you saying there's some zoning, similar zoning down near Mount Barker as well?
No, there's a hole in the middle of the river which isn't zoned Waihinta Puna.
Oh, okay.
Down in Mount Parker, and it would appear to be a mapping error. And it was raised by Duncan White and
Pittsburgh
in their evidence.
Mm-hmm. So they have mapped it. I'm just trying to find it. Oh, here it is.
Yeah. And as I said, in the Cardrona Township itself, which is currently under proceedings, I think, to move from rural visitor zone to settlement zone, is that Waihinta Puna exists over the paper roads within the township, but not over the remaining area, which is...
And that will be because the roads are not zoned, so when it was withdrawn, it was just withdrew the zone. So you have a road route map with the channels away to Puna, but no land in between.
For the council's point of view, what this is just a guess following on exactly from what she has just said, is that Cardrona town has moved from being a settlement to actually having the urban zones applied, like with low density, medium density, residential type zones. And in those zones, the Waihinta Puna sites don't show. But if you go to Hawea or Kingston or Glenorchy, which are settlement zones, but
yep,
actually no different to Cardrona, they just have a different zoning, the Waihinta Puna are still showed over those zones.
It's
inconsistent.
Yeah.
And yet over all the urban zones, the rules don't apply. But some of them have got mapping on them and some of them don't. And it's just...
For instance, the zoning occurs right across the Glenorchy Township, I believe, the Waihinta Puna, but not over the Cardrona Township. And it occurs over part of the settlement part of Kingston, but not the special zone part of Kingston.
is that a discussion to have with the planning team?
Yes.
Yeah.
The answer from the redactor is you should map the lot.
Could be a values corridor again, like if Cardrona's not got a Kaiapa, and those other areas have.
It could be.
this is Te Koroka, or sometimes known as Slipstream. That's the name of the big slip, historic slip, that comes down from the collection point where our ponamu was found. But this is dear and near to our heart. This is where the ponamu for the Otago Southland area comes from. It fell out of knowledge, I think, for quite some time, post-settlement sale, land sales and what have you. But it's entirely enclosed by a national park, so its values are strongly held, and it's also a special science reserve.
Yeah.
So...
Scientific reserve.
Scientific reserve.
Hmm.
And it's about 2,000 feet above the the riverbed. Mm. It's quite a climb up to the site.
Yeah, it is.
So my only comment on this one is that you only apply exotic species as a threat in this case, and I just wonder whether the approach taken by Wahu and Matapu about recreational activities might be valid, for instance, around threats.
You are right, and we sometimes we don't advertise, we don't want something happening because it causes it to happen. And this is one of those places we don't say too much, to be honest, because ideally we don't want people crossing the dart to look at this place here. And nor do Doc. That's why it's reserved as a scientific reserve. So that's why we haven't expanded.
Kia ora, this area 13 is Oturu. Oturu is the Māmoe Pau is talking about at the Dart. It's not far from the bridge that crosses the Dart River and heads down towards Kinloch. It's a significant Nohaka, Mahika Kai, Ponamu resource, and of course a Kaika. We actually got the name in there, Kaika, which is great. The importance of this place is, as I mentioned earlier, no postage stamp, it's the whole damn envelope. So it's a vast area which was frequented by our Māmoe people initially, the pā has significance because it sits below Ari, the mountain in the middle of the Dart Delta. Substantial areas of wahi tauka and wahi tapu, because there are burials up there, and those are the ones I mentioned earlier where we visited and took some time there in those particular sacred places and then moved on. It's interesting that area 14 is Tahuna again. We're getting these double names all over the place. It's a bit like Tititia. This one includes, of course, Glenorchy Township and the Dart Delta itself, and the Reese Delta. So we're really talking about Te Awa Whakatipu, and the importance of the Delta in supplying the sustenance for Lake Whakatipu Waimauri. So again, mahika kai, nohaka and ponamu as well. There are some wonderful traditions and stories that we share with our tamariki me ka mokopuna, about the movement and transfer of Ponamu right across this range from where we were a few moments ago in Area 13 to where we are now. The our tūpuna kept moving Ponamu resources around the valley. So its importance to us as an iwi and our assorted hapū is that we use this area, our commercial operations, utilise this area quite readily for horse trekking. Our Dart River jet operation runs up and down the river, and we've got funyaks and what have you. But the important thing is that all of our skippers on our jet boats actually understand one or more stories relating those to those traditions of the Dart and the Reese Valley. Yep.
So presumably you're talking the activities of Ngāi Tahu tourism.
Yeah.
So just raised a question in my head. In the role Ekaha would play in a resource consent application, advising and also potentially as an affected party, is there a situation where there's a pecuniary conflict? Financial conflict, if there was a conflicting operation wanting to do a jetboat operation on the river, for instance, that wasn't part of Ngāi Tahu, could...
Commissioner, I think you should ask Ms. Connolly if they also have that question.
Yeah.
Hold that thought.
Okay. Yeah.
She will no doubt have the answer by the time she appears.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, if we look at Tahuna in its entirety and that area that is we have marked, I guess there's a view that this is the traditional view from our ancestors, our tūpuna. Greenstone and Elfin Bay were acquisitions that occurred later. Even though they were important to our people, the Greenstone and Elfin Bay properties were acquired as a result of our settlement. No doubt the importance of those areas to us, to our people, but in this particular issue relating to Tahuna itself, we are talking about the Delta and the Glenorchy area specifically. Yes.
The islands, Wāhi Waka and Mātai. They were the Wāhi Waka, Noho Waka, Mahika Kai, Tauraka Waka, I think building or repairing. They did use Waka on the lake as well as Mokahi, but we believe that was one of those places where they did. There's quite good stands of Tōtara on the western side of Wāhi Waka.
Mm.
And staging post once again on travel on the lake, on the Ponamu journeys and what have you. And safety sometimes if they didn't know who was in the area, safety on an island. We did go out there with Queenstown Lakes District Council once. We were hoping to acquire management, I think, of it for these sort of reasons.
Yeah.
And we missed by two votes, I think, at council on that many years ago in Sarah's day.
And there was a time when we looked at doing something similar to what we did at Stevenson's Island on Lake Wanaka, doing the same here with these islands, of transferring Buffwicka to the islands. Again, it's a very short distance between Mātou and the road, so the little fellas would have swum ashore.
Central Queenstown, again, a similar question. If you've done a map, where would you map?
Oh, let's go, where are we? Queenstown.
What would the traditional boundaries have been?
Be a similar approach, well, sorry, it's that basin, mainly, in the gardens, in that hub area where all the boating activity, commercial activity occurs. It's really the same place where our people, particularly where the creek comes into the bay, particularly there, that, around that locality, is where Tūwhiri
Rō. Where the playground is.
Tūwhiri Rō and Haki Te Kura, and his people lived before he relocated.
Yeah, all right.
Fairly cold as the further along you go. I wouldn't go much further than, well, if we were doing a wahi tube, then I need to see a map. Look at a map here.
No, I don't think we have.
We would be sort of relatively generous, like we mentioned in Wanaka. Mm-hmm. We'd go beyond the steamer wharf, well beyond the steamer wharf, to the turnaround coming up here, probably.
Yeah, probably, yes.
And how far up? You're probably going to join.
We can come back to you on that. We'd have to just think about that. But a similar approach to what we've done elsewhere. There'd be a margin, buffer. I don't know whether it would go as high as the gondola station, but. Just that bay, taking in that bay area.
Okay, well, that's
not a job. Yeah.
Why is it
hot
here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Similar question in Frankton.
Sorry, similar question around Frankton.
Yeah, basically,
yeah, well, it would, similar approach. It would start from the Kelvin Heights side, before the outlet, come back along the Kelvin site, 400 or 500 metres, and then go around the head of Frankton, around to the marina. That would capture the area thought to be occupied in just a buffer.
And then back to the shotover.
But going back toward the shotover, yeah, I'm not sure how far, but I need a map.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Punatapu. Well, the name itself, Puna being a spring, Tapu being obvious what it means, and so the association with a Tapu spring tells us that this place has significance for our people. We do know it was a strong staging point on any travel up the lake, because you come around that big point
and that was
to the west.
Yep.
And, you know, most days the weather's no good for you. So they would be staging there until they, at the right time they could move up the lake. And Bob's Cove, we believe, was one of those important kaika staging posts, temporary campsite. And our understanding and looking at that locality, frequenting it often enough, we have the sense that it, that the name, the Punatapu, we tried to work out why did they give the name Punatapu. In the place, the locality here gives us the sense that it's got something special about it. Yep.
The question effectively is, because that way to permanent comes back and includes the next bay, Wilson Bay, then the area above Close Burn, and I suppose the question that the Smithers are asking is, given the description, what's the logic in the way Tapuna coming so far back from Bob's Cove to include, as say, Wilson Bay, Close Burn,
right back to Fern Hill.
Yeah.
In some places like above Close Burn, it goes
way up.
Way up.
Straight up the cliff.
In other places, I mean, around Bob's Cove, you can sort of see it takes in the surrounds.
Yeah, no, well, when you look at it, I can see what you're saying there. I mean, the only argument we would put is that there will be a spring there that is of some significance. It could be quite high, not directly above Bob's Cove. We haven't done that level of searching or looking. The general area along there sheltered for people when they're staying there. I mean, there's a Mahika guy aspect, but I can see how people would have that question. Yeah.
Well, I wonder if rather than if we're going to invite you to think about that, because on the face of the description of the expanded description of the values that you've given us, yes, staging post, we can understand that, understand you put an area around Bob's Cove, but we're left with a question mark as to that it's coming back along the lake edge and up the hill all the way. So that's, can we invite you to think about that?
Yeah.
I'm looking at my the numbering that I've scribbled in my margin.
Well, this time you might get a real history lesson on this one.
Your number 17 is quite close to my heart. It's
a worry, then.
Well, it's more contemporary. It has historic connection, but Maori, it's really the Wahi Tupu in the centre of around Maori Point and what happened there in 1862 when a group of Maori men, including my great-grandfather, were gold mining there. They had ventured in by foot from Moiraki, Pokitaraki and Otago, assembled at Tairi Lake, moved into Earnscliffe, no luck there, went to Bannockburn, no luck there, went across to Foxes, now known as Arrowtown, and caught up with some Southland, Ngaitahu, who were going over to the strike in the Skippers. So they went over there and they struck the biggest single strike in New Zealand history in a single day. So there's a lot of that history there of our people in contemporary times going in and accessing these resources. There were no weka on the true left of the river when they got it there because they'd been all killed. All the miners, because there's a heap of miners in there, and no one had swum. No one could get across the river because it was in flood. So my great-grandfather was a good swimmer. He got across there, and that's how he got his gold. And caught some weka.
So you've
fallen
here all of this gold?
Yeah. Well, he's hidden it. No, I think he used it well.
Yeah. What was his name?
Rani Irihana. I think it can, because as we said right at the outset, it's ancestral land, the whole district. This stands out as a particular feature. They're not known to have been in here gold mining, but Ngaitahu were in here through all of those gold strikes. And so it's a way of remembering that they were here, gives them a place. But it's also a significant story as well in terms of that single biggest strike.
I suppose what I'm getting at, are those values different to the Chinese and the Australian gold miners and whoever else was in there at the same time, or is it are they unique, or are they tied into the post-European history across all?
I'll just say before I get to you, David, yeah, there are stories of something, some of those parties being quite unique to European or Chinese, or they understood the Chinese didn't have a good and easy ride in here, nor did they, and they dealt with that in their own ways with stripping down and doing the haka.
Yep. I think the other important point about the Kimiako was that it was aratawhito to the coast. And our people tested their abilities by utilising that river to get over to the coast, to Tai o Pōtini. It wasn't the most successful traverse, and they picked much more appropriate trails, but at least they had a go. But I guess you've got to remember that our people knew this land. They knew it well. So going up there and chasing a different type of stone, gold in this case, was something that their ancestors had been well aware of. Not so much the gold, but they knew Kimiako. They knew the rivers.
I wonder, Higgins, in terms of description
mm-hmm.
of the area.
Yes.
I observe you say and talk about part of traditional travel routes.
Yes.
That it might be worth making a specific point that this was a route out of the district in over to the west coast.
Yes.
Aratawhito
value. Yeah. We add the Aratawhito.
Add that list of values that you're describing, but as I say, it's not so much. And in turn, you've described it as a travel route. out of the district rather than internal.
Yep. Do that.
Interestingly, this catchment is where all the sand comes from that it traditionally nourished the east coast beaches of Otago and north. The mining has destabilised the catchment. It's going to take about 500 years to stabilise, but a lot of that sand now has been captured by the dams. But it's quite an important catchment as well for the whole overall ecology and the health of our ecosystems, coastal sand replenishment.
It's a major issue for the Roxburgh Dam, the build-up of silt.
The quote I saw was 1.4 million cubic metres coming out of the shallow every offset every year.
Yeah.
And most of it's now even in the bottom of the lakehouse.
Yep.
And in it was in Roxburgh before it.
Yes.
The gardens area in Queenstown, and just on the top edge of it just touches probably where the village we think of Tūwhiri Roa was, where that creek comes out through Queenstown. Tūwhiri Roa being the father of Haki Tukura.
Yep.
If there was to be a process where tahuna was mapped, would your preference be to keep this specific wahi tūpuna te kararo separate, or would you, because it is close to what you just described to us in terms of what you've mapped?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think we would keep it separate to that, what we were talking about earlier, because it's got those specific values that can be recognised and protected.
You want to do that, Haki Tukura?
Right, Tanuku or Haki Tukura. Golf, that's where the golf course is. And said to be the place that Haki Tukura left on her swim across to what is now Cecil Peak area. The Kamu or Haki Tukura. Quite a feat. I'm not sure. But that's the tradition. And Haki Tukura eventually ended her days at the mouth of the Tairi River, having jumped off a cliff looking, trying to get into a waka. That's another story.
She actually didn't go empty-handed. When she left that point, she had strapped to her back appropriate firewood to start a fire on the other side of the lake. It's really interesting that she took that material with her and swam across. It's all a challenge for her that no one else had been able to do it.
Over to you, but I would have thought that in terms of the description of the values, rather than saying it's related to her,
Kia ora.
Any questions?
Who per part, and that's my 2%. To Tapu Nui, which is the big hill, Queenstown Hill, directly behind Queenstown. Once again, the name has Tapu in it, and also Nui, which is rather large tapu, you would think it's talking about. Hence why we've put that forward as a wahi tupuna.
Any comment on there? Is it just the little bit uncertain about the urban boundaries on and whether we're there in or out?
Doesn't show it there, but I'm just wondering if that boundary actually indicates the 400 metre line. Contour. I'm not sure. Perhaps we can have a look at that one then. Yep, it's a bit of heat there, all right. This is an interesting site because you can see the state highway where it goes, and you probably could imagine where the state highway is going to go in the future. The reason why we've mapped this particular area, we've got a wee bit wobbly out there into the river, is the fact that we suspect that, well, we know that Hakitakura's father actually established a settlement on this side of the river as well. So we understand it's down by the creek that enters the Kawerau, and there was a Tauraka waka. Why he established a settlement there, we're not sure, but we have a fair idea that that would have been a perfect site for Mahikakai gathering, because it is a flat area in there. It probably was a wetland of some kind in its day, and it's fed by that creek, or a number of creeks. It seems to be the perfect place to come across the river and establish a pa site there, as well as having one on the other side. Tititia, again, there's that name. There's about 5 different Tititia in this district. That's a moot point. I noticed through our mapping, through all of the maps, we've jumped from settlement to kaika Te Nohaka, and perhaps there needs to be some general statement of the importance of those three particular descriptions, because they are different. And in this case, the settlement, it could have been a kaika, but it could have easily been a makakai noaka, a place where people settled, a campsite, for the purposes, the specific purposes of gathering resources. Mm. Holiday home. Well, this is an interesting one. I mentioned earlier my daughter was married up on top of Island Spur, and the importance of this area is as a wahi tupuna is the moka. The moka themselves, Cecil Peak, is a substantial peak that has is supported by some tradition, some history. Of the place, particularly the lake itself, and Kakamu or Hakitukura is where our ancestors arrived from the other side of the lake and set her fire, so that people realised that she had made it.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening on the Table Bay, but yeah, we didn't. It's exclusively around the story of Hakitukura.
In terms of the logic of the story, I'm thinking, well, you carefully massage the outside of the boundary,
yes,
but not the internal boundary.
Yep. We're well aware that it's a trail, but it wasn't put up. So,
is there a reason for that?
I remember when we did this, this specific site, we looked at both ends of, I guess, this story, Cecil Peak, and over the other side there at Beach Bay. There's a lot of development that's already occurred, I guess. There's development in terms of the operational farm at Cecil Peak and what's happening over on the other side. We didn't think too much of those, the trails up to the Mavora Lakes, because it disappears off this map pretty quickly, but it's perhaps something we could look at down the track a bit.
View. That people travelling from the south could have come through the Mavora Lakes,
yeah,
and they would have presumably used a sheltered campsite at bay.
Yep.
And they possibly could have travelled across the lake to Box Cove or somewhere else. So, and equally,
they would have used
the lake. You know, it'd be sort of, it's not the level of development.
quite specific.
And I think the commissioner's point might be plan change X.
Yes, that's right.
X, yeah.
Is there a different way to put it? This is an interesting one which I raised before, but the council's maps actually don't reflect what you've got on your maps before us, which is interesting.
Yeah, look, I'm not familiar with what's on your map either, so.
It's clear that the Kingston special zone has been removed in the way of the but I don't.
This is more. We would probably have to come back to you on this one because we probably relied more on the southern people whose people would have used this route or the old trail that you were referring to before. It's not.
I think this is more an issue of principle about, for these urban areas, are they all in or all out?
Yeah.
We do have an interest in all of these areas, but we did tend to invite Taumarama to have more of an input into this one.
So do we have evidence that represents the position of Te Taumarama? Or not?
That's to assist, and I think Plan Works is going to also help answer that, but my understanding is that the evidence was put before all of us, the seven Runaka for approval, so that there's a collective view. But in fairness to the witnesses, when you get a question detailed such as the one just made, which is obviously a reasonable question, they don't want to overstep the bounds of what's been discussed or what hasn't. So that's probably the answer. But I will ask my planners to
just double check that. Yep.
Yes. So the significance for the Kawerau River is, of course, as an aratawhito, and it's well documented as well as within our own oral tradition.
Can you speak up, please?
Oh, sorry. The significance of the Kawerau River is that it's an aratawhito, and it's well documented not only in our manuscripts but also in our oral traditions that this was a major route through. And it's also source of Mahikakai sites, and there's a lot of archaeological sites that are identified along the river as well.
So one thing about the fact, well, I understand all of those points, but the identified
the natural bridge was very important. It was a bridge across the river until the mid-1800s, I think it was, and it just naturally collapsed into the river and worn away. But it was the fulcrum for so much travel in the interior. People wanting to get across the river would make for that natural bridge. Near the Roaring Meg, coming over the Kadrona.
Just upstream from the Roaring Meg.
Yeah.
Hundreds of metres.
Yeah.
The Arafata is its name, I think, but the true name has been found.
Yep.
I've got it. Yeah,
the pillars are still there, aren't they? You can still see the pillars on each side.
Oh, yeah, the broken remains. Through a bit. So that river and the Lake Wakatipu disgorges through a very narrow channel. It's amazing, a bit like the Taupo. We can look at that. Probably weren't totally familiar with that, but we did have clinics pre-hearing, and a number of these issues came up that we're aware of. We've looked to see what we can do. This is going into the following the old Rootburn track and another source of Ponamu, not higher grade is the Te Koraka, but important, accessible to our people. The area would have been known, and so looking to, I think, largely within the national park. No, where is it?
Looks all
to be. Yeah,
it's all in the park.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, the only comment on that is whether commercial recreation activities is a threat or not.
Only in the way that New Zealand's looking to reimagine its tourism. you know, it's just numbers, and I don't know, it's not specifically up there, but no. It could be, but we were relatively silent in the DART for the reasons I explained.
Mm.
Mm.
Temporary Nohoaka site, and I guess that goes back to comments earlier this morning. Can you hear me okay? With the area itself as importance in Mahika Kai, and we've also been talking last night about the geographical position of Wai Creek area between Kingston and further in towards Queenstown, and how it would have been used as a Nohoaka or a temporary stopover point for Mahika Kai as well. So it has both contemporary significance and also the historical significance there as well, ancestral significance.
Traditionally, more of that area is not known?
No.
Or not recorded?
Not recorded.
Not recorded.
No. Oh, Taho.
Okay. Not in that locality.
No, there's nothing in that exact locality. No.
In the same reasoning for this as a Waihi Tukura, is the other ones relating to Haki Tukura. The Taumata where she climbed and sat, observed and came up with the idea that she would swim the lake, as the story goes. That's a good question, actually, and it does, actually, doesn't it, now that you look at it, have that connection, so we'll have to consider that with the Pinatapu one. I think it's something we need to look at. Yeah, so here we are at map 28, Haihai Nui, the Arrow River, running up right up past Maystown, an old Mahika Kai trail, in temporary Nohoaka in that locality, connects to the Kawarau. And similar to those other rivers, just looking to follow the bed. That follow the line, the trails that the old people will have taken.
Maystown, where the Waihi Tukuna doesn't follow the line.
perhaps I could get the Kaumatua to confirm that there's an error, and then my planners can
comply.
You can't see on these.
No.
It's only when they've been translated off the computer map.
Is it possible to have that brought up by Kat?
Kat, can you
bring it
out?
It's at the confluence of the Richburn and the Arrow.
How many more maps do we have?
Really halfway through.
28.
Yeah. Yeah, 29.
So here's the river.
Yep.
This is the
ice strip. Ice tunnel. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Water goes uphill.
Yes.
Doesn't seem to Otago.
It does seem to be an error.
I think there's someone who was looking for errors for that to happen.
But
I mean, I'm not saying that wrong.
Good point.
That it appears to be an error. I think you need to confirm whether it's an error or not from a cultural perspective.
Yes, we have. Yep, that's right.
And down near the confluence of the Arrow.
We are aware of that inquiry, so we can have a look at that. Yeah.
I suppose the thinking would be is that if the value was Matika Kai, then presumably the other terraces aren't. So maybe the thinking
would
reflect that. Yes, I will have a look at that. So Kamiako, number 29, from the Kawaro, right up to Kamiako or Shoto. So an old Ara Tawhito, Mahi Kakai, Nohoaka. These places the people traversed in their search for Mahi Kakai and what have you. So,
my only comment on that is that certainly upstream of branches, particularly, there are a number of inconsistencies, and it's probably not worth going through them individually. There are quite a number of them where it departs from the river and there's holes in the middle of the zone, in the middle of the river, similar to what we've discussed before. So, you might want to review the detail on that. And down to branches station.
Yep.
Yeah, well, it's certainly we're not able to see that on this map, but we can likewise have a look at the detail. Which
because the only way you can really look at this is to zoom in on the map version against the topo map.
Yes. Yep.
Any other questions?
Only, did the route continue on over to Pitooki Valley from there?
I expect, if we thought about it, it was accessible to go over, continue over, and into that other valley. I think, like David said earlier on, they wouldn't necessarily backtrack. backtrack on, you know, on their movement, so that they're having to re-scour places that are already fossicked and what have you. So, yeah. Well, the capability was there to do that quite easily.
I think in the cultural map, it shows a track to from the upper shallow to over into the Arrawatta.
Yep.
That's,
yep.
That's the trail.
Mm.
That's right, that's two.
Yeah.
They didn't have cars they had to go back to. Just continue.
Makaruori. This again is one of those interesting ones up the that follows the Makarora River, goes past the Wilkins, goes in, is adjacent to the Hunter. It's a aratawhito which eventually ends up, if you want to go the whole way, on the Haast Pass. Interestingly, it was talk from the east coast that first guided Sefton Moorhouse over the Haast Pass to show him actually where the Haast Pass was. So this is just another one of those aratawhito. One way or another, you're going to end up at the top of the Makarora Valley and find your way eventually over to Te Tai o Potini. But I'm not quite sure why we ended up at the top there.
I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
As it departs from the Haast
highway, yes. Yeah.
You're really boxing yourself in.
That's right.
That country, and unless you...
It's a continuation.
You travel over to the Willis or the Broderick Pass or something.
Yeah, it would have gone that way.
Boxed out, so I
yeah.
Just wonder whether... As a route, it might make more sense somewhere else.
Yes, I wouldn't have followed that track myself, but I just wondered about that little curl there.
Might have been purist following the river to its source.
Yeah, well, it looks like that. It looks like that's what they've done, and run out of source. So, yeah. I think we need to have a look at that one. It's the first time I've actually seen it on this map.
Yes.
Yeah. Hmm. That is interesting.
Scenic route of Broderick Classic.
Yeah. Dear. Why?
Taki and from Lake Wanaka, heading right back up, well up the source to this, to the fork where it divides, and not sure how much further than that our people may have gone, but they will have gone up that river valley for some distance. So we, because of the importance of the lower area around the Glendu Bay, the mouth of the Matukituki, we thought that would be an important wahi to recognise.
Any questions?
Only just if it was Mahi Kekai, then I wonder if it would have included places like Bibogi and stuff like that.
There are
equally there are some
inconsistencies of people they brought up the camera flat near the junction.
Yeah.
So doesn't quite match the regard, but you can have a look at that. Yep. It sort of goes without saying.
Yeah, that's right.
Saying the remarkables are remarkable.
Yeah.
Yes. Any questions about the river?
About the river?
Yeah.
Only that bit at the top, there's a mismatch between Lake Wanaka and...
Oh, yes, there's a hole.
There's a hole, yes.
Given the particular value you highlighted on the outlet,
so it is odd there.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, this is, we're in the lake, aren't we?
Mm.
Yep.
Well, I don't think we need to talk to three lakes. I have one question.
Yes. Yes.
It's a wee 1 hectare piece on that map.
Yeah.
It's very small.
That's definitely another one.
It could be, the scale could be too big.
Yeah, but it came through the settlement.
I found it.
Can we just suggest?
I think it's going to check that one.
I think that's just a request, and you check that.
Yep.
Whether it's correctly translated into the plan map. Do we need to ask any other questions about the lakes generally? And is 36?
Kawera.
Father and mother.
Yeah, well, it relates to peaks and the height, and the higher the mountain, the closer to the what we call the Atua or Ngāwhetu Rangi tier, those who of our tūpuna have gone to the stars.
Mm.
And so that's the importance of Kawarau, significant range, very prominent high peaks, overlooking significant lake, reasonably close proximity to your mountains. Related to Hakitakura, connected to the Kawarau River, so it's linked more to that creation period in the way that we look at our landscape.
Yep.
Could more of that description go into the description, because it's just such a big site and clearly it's an important site.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah, we noticed that it didn't have that, and so.
Are they exactly what's on the what's on the side of the well, or is there a buffer around them? Are they extending?
No, there's no buffer. It's purely what was available. That was the extent of, think of the Lynn's land.
Would the better way be for the well intended to be a buffer, whether they actually exactly coincide is an open question.
True. Yes, okay. So we need to refresh ourselves.
I think there is a buffer. Because and it, you know, the one that is particularly obvious, well, that the first one on 37 does encompass a large piece of private land and it has a smaller polygon inside it, which is the, now the others appear to be the same, they all have a smaller polygon in, and I'm aware that Tucker Beach, for instance, is a recreation reserve, but there's a Nahonga in the middle of it, the same with Hawea and Dublin Bay.
Can we go back then to my initial question? Is the intention that only the area shown in the derived from the Claims Act be mapped? And if more than that is mapped, then it's a mistake.
Good question, Mr. Chair. I think these have been put in here for their specific dimensions. I can't recall whether we were looking to create a buffer at all or seek to remove a buffer.
Have you got one of the pages open there?
Yes, I have.
Which one
did you? It's Waterfall Creek, number 37.
37. So see here at the in the key, there's the light purple line, which is the long outline, which is the small polygon on the track. And then the Waihitupuna layer, which is the redder colour, is much bigger than that. So, and each one of them is like that. Now, I mean, that may be your intention, but they're quite different than
small areas, but it would be good just to confirm what's intended to be the Waihitupuna, whether it's intended to be the whole area, the small area, or whether they're actually one of the same thing.
Sorry, we did this a while ago, and it's
coming back to me now with your questions. Look, some of these nohoanga are isolated, probably not usable. The idea of them was to take our people back close to where the ancestors would have recreated, camped and lived and what have you. So it was to put a sense of a Waihitupuna around them, might make it more attractive to our people. I can see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that was,
so
that's right.
Maybe intended to get the buffer around over the private land, or maybe more
about
land around.
That's right.
Yes,
correct.
The case, though, I think that the descriptor would need to be reflect that.
I think there's a different problem there potentially, because particularly you look at that Waterfall Creek one, the Ruby Island Road one, and the values predominantly relate to the lake and the connection to the lake, but it encompasses a whole bunch of land behind it, which limited by a cadastral boundary, not by any other means. So I think it's a little bit problematic.
Rather than talk through each one, like there's obviously Nelson is reaching back to his memory as to what happened and why. Rather than, I think the better approach would be, can we ask you please to review all of the sites and give us a specific response for each one as to the basis on which it's been mapped, to the extent that it's extended beyond the Claims Act area. And as the Commissioner says, having said for other purposes that cadastral boundaries
this one, particularly the Waterfall Creek one, you see the blue line going down there, it's quite an incised creek bed, and we'd have to put a bridge across it to use it, to get to it, and then I hadn't been totally aware whether it was private land around or not.
It's reserve, I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
But the department is, yeah. That it cuts around the private land behind it. But there is a bridge, but it's only a footbridge, so presumably you're talking about vehicle access.
Yes.
Mm.
And yeah, you're correct, but there's no vehicle access to that point.
Yeah, so there are some problematic issues with them physically to utilise them. And
there's the question probably out the one at Harvey extends over the Harvey camping ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I think that the request is we have a general response on all of these sites, as I say, to the extent that they've covered land up around the claims area.
It's not that
I think we could only use it as guidance. Myself, we are not able to anticipate new examples of activities that could pose a threat 10 years, 20 years out.
So, I wonder whether that's clearly not spelled out, and we've actually got such a place in the planners about that, but we might need to define that or explain that, if that's the intention. The urban areas, I think we've got some questions around in terms of consistency. We've raised that throughout the thing. One of the things that concerns me a little bit is that in your values identification, you haven't identified a broader landscape concern as part of the values identified, but you clearly have identified that in terms of your mapping. So if that is something that you're concerned about, you might need to look at how you explain that in the values.
Was one measure of drain raise by solicitors. Landscape hasn't been mapped. On the face of it, it looks like it could have been an important Mahakai or Mahakai area. Is there a particular reason why Mahakai hasn't been included?
Not aware of it being. Sufficiently strong in that respect. Mm.
It just doesn't come up as a strong documented either recorded or orally.
No.
Oh, that's fine, thank you. No, I don't think.
Well, that's all from me. Can I thank you very sincerely for your patience as you work through questions, and you must have seen a very long and tedious exercise, but we've found that
Kia ora tātou. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the panel, for your perseverance, your tenacity, and all those other things that makes good commissioners. And we've been very pleased to present to you today on behalf of our whānau south of the Waitaki, the good people. It's appropriate and traditional for us to finish up with a karakia, and I could do that now. To all our whānau tautoko, our whānau who supported us today, and our kaimahi, tēnā koutou. Mīngoe tātou, kia tau, kia tātou katoa, te ata whai o tātou ariki o hukaraiti, me te araha o te atua, me te whiwhi ka tahitaka ki te wairua tapu, ake, ake, ake. Amen.
Amen.
And I shouldn't have eaten that lunch. No? No, nothing to do with you, mate.
Thank you.